are back. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura alongside my man Vic Carucci talking about these Browns. And one of the things we want to ask you now on Twitter, we've already asked you today, whether or what the biggest takeaway that you've gotten from coming out to training camp has been. What's your biggest observation about training camp? Also want to find out where you guys stand in this Trent Richardson thing. Do you want to see Trent Richardson play in the preseason? Do you want to see Trent Richardson not play until week one? Or do you not really care? Do you just trust the coaches? You can let us know at Browns_daily on Twitter. And I think that's an interesting debate. I'm comfortable with what the coaches are doing, whether he plays a series in the third game or whether he does not. I'm fine with that. I think having Trent Richardson talk the way he's talking, feeling the best he has physically felt since camp, to me, is extremely important. And I know some of you have already weighed in on Twitter and social media with us, so let's bring in our man, Dino, Dave DiNatale. Dino,
hey,
what's up, bro?
We are doing good. How's everything going out there?
Outstanding, and great to have you back, buddy.
Yeah, yes, good. Yes. Good to be back. Yeah, a nice long weekend. All right, on social media, as we threw out the question, what have you taken away? What stood out to you the most when you took in practice in Berea? Joe Nye at JNizNye tweets at us at Browns_daily. Head coach Chud's enthusiasm, high energy with the coaches and the players, and also, guys, I dare say, the fans that have been out there in Berea.
Absolutely. Watching him interact with the sideline fans has been great. To go over and acknowledge their presence every day. And different coaches do different things and at some point connect with fans, sign autographs, whatever it might be. Chud has taken that, Nathan, to another level. I love the fact that he continues to show them that he's still the guy who grew up in Toledo loving this team.
This organization from top to bottom is about the fans. Rob Chudzinski grew up as a fan of this team, and I think his interactivity with the fans at training camp has been great. The changes to the training camp experience, I know the feedback on that from fans has been great. This team, I don't know if there's another team that has a vice president of fan experience. Kevin Griffin is here to make sure that fans have the best time they can possibly have being fans of the Cleveland Browns. And that says to me how important it is. And this is clearly an organizational mandate, given that there's a position for that. And then you have Rob Chudzinski, the head coach, out there barking at the fans. You have Rob Chudzinski taking two fans out of the crowd to kick field goals so that the players can get a night off if they make it. I think that it is a great, great sense of community that's being built here. And I think that there is a clear a link between this organization and the town. Obviously, I've talked about how I think the Browns fans are the most passionate and loyal fans in the world that I've ever been around. And I think that the numbers are showing that this year. And the fact that you have a head coach who not only understands that being a Browns fan himself, but embraces that and is making the whole experience that much better. And I think you talk about the camaraderie amongst the team. Mm-hmm. I think you're getting a different relationship between the team and the fans that maybe you haven't seen. And you've been here for a while, but you can comment on this better than I can, that maybe you haven't seen since the days of Bernie.
Oh, without question that even in the last couple of years, it's been so much of, and I guess it's always cautious on the part of the fan side, and it should be, when a team has delivered more disappointment than it has enjoyment for you to watch. Frustration has been really the defining part of this team's on-field performance. So people are cautious. People, it's just like anything else. You want to protect your heart, protect your emotions from getting torn up and broken again. And that is that, you know, that romantic thing that goes on between a fan and a team, and especially one, again, like this, that has gone just so long without delivering success. I think what you're hearing now, again, the typical thing that the Browns sell this time of year is hope. But I think, as you point out, more levels of engagement, more levels of connection. Camp showed that. Camp was like a perfect vehicle for the Browns to sort of show off how they are going to engage with fans. And they've delivered that message specifically, talked about what will happen at the stadium. But you saw the improvements throughout this camp, the food trucks, the different things that are around here. And you mentioned Kevin Griffin's role as you know, someone who's like got to be the fan advocate, the
right
person who goes around and says, okay, how are we involving you guys in things we do? And I don't know if any team really has that role. They have maybe variations of that role or multiple people who work on that role in one form or another. For the first time, you got a team that's definitely invested in that spot. And yeah, the example of Chud, you know, getting the two fans to kick field goals was great. And the day that I was standing with him with Jim Brown, and he walks up to Jim Brown in the middle, in a lull in the middle of practice, says, "Jim, there's a person out there wearing a number 32 jersey on the sideline. Would you come over and sign? I'd like to bring him inside the field from the behind the rope there and have you sign his shirt and pose for a picture." And he did. And that was a, you know, that was like a moment. That's just one of those moments where, again, recognition of, you got Brown right here, you got a guy wearing a Jim Brown jersey who might not have otherwise, because Jim pretty much watched practice from the middle of the field and then goes off and, sure, you know, doesn't really get involved with the whole thing with dealing with a lot of fans kind of being gathered there, because it would be a mob scene. But for the head coach to just recognize that in the middle of practice, because you usually get so myopic when you're looking at things in practice, right? You don't really see anything as a coach except what's right in front of you. And for him to do that was tremendous.
He gets it. I think he gets it on so many levels. And we've heard that from the players, from the coaches, the fans. I am so impressed with Rob Chudzinski as a head coach in his very, you wouldn't know that he's a first-year head coach. Would you say that at this point? I mean, the guy hasn't even coached a regular season game, and you wouldn't know that this is his first rodeo. I thought the way that everything was handled in the preseason game, so smooth. Practices, camp, so smooth. He gets it, and I think that that is one of the reasons to feel so confident about this team, is that the leadership, both in the organization and on the field, is literally first class.
It's CEO-like, which I've always felt a coach has to be when he's successful. I've been around enough of them to sort of gauge the qualities, and of course have, you know, seen their success or lack thereof. And I can tell you that when you're too much of a micromanager, when you are too concerned with having your hands in every single thing, because you do that because, understandably, your job's on the line, and every decision, everything that happens affects your future. So there are those who say, "I'm going to try to put my hand on everything and cover every hole." And it's sort of like standing in front of the proverbial dam that's got leaks springing everywhere. You don't have enough fingers and toes to fill all those. You've got to trust other people to do that. And in the case of this Browns team, trusting North Turner is a wise thing. Trusting Ray Horton on the defensive side, a very wise thing. Trusting those other position coaches that he's brought in with experience, like the Ken Flagels and others, Joe Cullen on the defensive line, is a wise thing. To know that they are handling what they're handling, Chris Tabor on the special team side. You can, because there are, I know, instances of head coaches really not having that trust. And what that says, really, Nathan, is you've done a bad job of putting a staff together,
right,
if you're worried that much about it. It's like any organization. If you got to hire people to work for you, and if you feel you've got to do all their jobs too besides your own, then you've done a horrendous job hiring.
And that certainly is not the case, and that's another reason just to be comfortable. So I guess we ran with that Chud tweet a little bit there, Dino.
You got
well, it was a good discussion. I mean,
right.
One other from the topic of, you know, what have you taken away from taking out practice in Berea? From our colleague and teammate from the Really Big Show, Aaron Goldhammer, Josh period Gordon period. Dude is a beast.
You know, I get teased a lot around here. People tell me that Josh Gordon's my pet cat, which means that's the guy that you think is a superstar.
Yeah,
and he is. I think I could not agree more. When I look at, you know, the physically dominant receivers in the NFL, I think Josh Gordon has a chance to be like an Andre Johnson, like a Brandon Marshall. I think his talent is that good. I think it jumps out at you when you see him run. He just looks like almost a different species, if that makes sense. He seems bigger, he seems faster, he seems stronger than the other people on the field, and his talent and his role in this offense is going to be so important. And the thing that it makes you think about is just how bummed out I am that he will not be there the first 2 weeks.
I want to see this. There's full agreement on my part with you on everything you said about him physically. And I recognize that really, the moment he came in here, even as the out of shape, not so, and really unaware of most everything he needed to know to be an NFL receiver last July of 2012. That said, I want to see the head catch up with the body. I thought it did in some instances through the course of last season. And by around mid-season mark, you sort of felt that he was what he had to be mentally to play this game. Now, I think that offsets the what happened in February and the, taking the codeine, and or that's what he said it was, and the suspension that's resulting from that because it was a narcotic and it's banned by the league and there's a zero tolerance on that is, you know, that's problem one. And then problem two, in my mind, has been a real sense of watching him on a daily basis not make the full take full advantage. And I'm not talking about effort. That's been criticized too. And I'm really not in the camp of those who are critical that he's not trying hard enough. But because there's, to me, it's two separate things. It's the understanding that you do have to come back for the ball as often as you do have to worry about catching the ball in stride. And he does that perfectly, the catching in stride. It's the working your way back. And it's also realizing your quarterback is going to try to find you, is going to take that extra, you know, that extra time. And even though Brandon Whedon's not the most mobile guy in the world, but on, you know, 5 and 7 step drops, and then with the ability to kind of just even move a couple of steps here and there, there is maximum time, as much as you can get, by the way, with a pass rush coming at you, to have that receiver work his way back to the ball, and he's going to put the ball in an area. He's not throwing, ideally quarterbacks try to throw to hands and targets that way. That isn't really the case in this scheme, and certainly with a receiver the size and athleticism of Gordon and Greg Little, you're throwing to a, you're kind of throwing to a space, to an area, counting on their catch radius and counting on their ability to just run to the ball. And he's got to sometimes run back to the ball. Haven't always seen that. Now, what's impressed me lately, and Rob Jedzinski mentioned this yesterday, he's got the knee tendonitis thing going on. He's fighting through that. So that's a good sign of maturity.
It is a good sign of maturity. And when you look at this offense and you look at the things that Josh Gordon can do in this offense, I've talked about it many times, Norv Turner's number one receiver has averaged at least 17.2 yards per catch and 10 yards per target in 5 straight years. That is the only offense that has produced those kind of results. So Josh Gordon, to me, has an opportunity here to be that kind of a monster. And as a rookie, 16.1 yards per catch, 8.5 yards per target, 6.3 yards after the catch per reception, which was 13th best in the NFL. And when you compare that, just a comparison I'm going to throw up, to Dez Bryant, who was in a much better passing offense as a rookie. He was at 12.5 yards a catch, 7.7 yards per target, 4.6 yards after the catch per reception. So Josh Gordon's numbers in an offense that wasn't even built to his skill set as a rookie were better than Dez Bryant's numbers as a rookie. Josh Gordon now is in an offense that fits his skill set, and I think physically, if the mental part, and I know it's an if,
if
the mental part catches up to his physical talent, that Josh Gordon will be a top five receiver in the NFL, period. I believe that wholeheartedly. The stats I've run back that up. Is the way he looks, he passes the eye test. It is up to Josh Gordon how good he wants to be.
Got to pass the head test, and you also have to have Brandon Whedon pass the Brandon Whedon test, the quarterback test.
It will certainly,
for all of that,
yes.
For all
but
of
I
that
mean, even on a year last
I love where you're going. I just got to, but I got to see, those dots got connected because that was a different offense, different quarterback, different surrounding. This particular situation is still this situation, and I think we're a ways from seeing where it's going to head there. But I love the what you're saying. If that projection could be real, it'll be amazing. But man, have I got a lot more to see.
There is certainly a lot more to see, and I hope we get to see it. That's what we want here. That's what we want. And we got more to talk about here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Nathan Zagura and the Notorious VIC will be right back with you.